Welcome to our Bible study today. We're going to talk about seemingly not being able to start a difficult task as a Christian. It can be anything from witnessing to cleaning up the house, changing the tire on the car, or even washing the car, but we just don't want to start it. And we do find out that we can get out there, and if we start it, then we'll get it done. My name is Theodore Turner. The date today is June 19, 2019. I want to talk to you about this today. Before we start this, I want to make sure all of you have had a chance to become a Christian. I don't want to wait till the end of the message and maybe have the recorder stop or maybe get covered by a commercial or something. But I want you to know what it takes to become a Christian. Number one, you have to admit you're a sinner. Because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord," Romans 6:23. Salvation is a gift from God. It's sort of like getting a special clearance to go from one city to another, or maybe like a driver's license or a special portfolio that says you're okay to go from one country to the other. But you have to admit you're a sinner, and you have to want to become a Christian. And the second point is you have to be willing to turn from sin. Acts 17:30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." You need to repent. You need to admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior and tell Him that you will repent and you'll try to change. Acts 17:30. The third point is believe that Jesus Christ died for you and was buried and rose from the dead. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And in Romans 5:8 it says, "God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us," Romans 5:8. I'm going to say that one again. "God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us," Romans 5:8. This is a very important verse here, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's about why salvation is free and why we get it by just repenting. It says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." And grace is like just something special. Someone gives you this special thing. They're very graceful and they come up to you and say, "Here, you need some pie," or "You need this," or "Need that." I'm not sure I'm explaining that right, but it says, "It is for by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You're going to get saved by what God does. It's through His Spirit that He does, that He saves us. There's a Bible verse in the Old Testament. It says, Zechariah 4:6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So what I'm saying here, and what this is saying, that I'm repeating, is that it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Throughout the Old Testament, many people had many miracles happen in their lives, like this parting of the sea, and the horrible death of all those soldiers that were trying to kill the Israelites in the water when the sea parted and came back. That wasn't because of anything these people did. It wasn't by might nor by power, but it was by God's Spirit. When God speaks, those things happen. The fourth point now is you need to pray and invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior and fill you with His guiding Holy Spirit. You need to confess publicly that you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Now let me tell you the verse that has to do with this. Romans 10:10. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:10. And just remember this. It's not some special thing you have to do, but it's by God's Spirit that these things happen. So whether you're in the United States, Mexico, or wherever you're at, you can do this. You don't have to be perfect. It doesn't matter what you've done. God will meet you right where you're at, whether you're addicted to something, sins, alcohol, smoking something bad, whatever it would be. Maybe even spanking your kids too hard or something. You need to ask God to forgive you for that. Sometimes that happens to people in life. So you can pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me, that you suffered and bled for me, that you went into the grave, and it says in the Bible that you went down to hell and preached to the people in hell, and you arose again alive. And we thank you, God, that you were resurrected, and we thank you you're going to resurrect us, and we're glad you resurrected just like you did, and that God did that from heaven, resurrected you, and we thank you for that. Now we ask you, Jesus, forgive us for our sins. Forgive everything we've done wrong, whether it was a thing we should have done or a thing we shouldn't have done. Sins of omission or sins of commission. Forgive us for all these things, God. Forgive us for any sins, any lies, any stealing. I pray you forgive us, and we'll try, God, to change our lives, become the kind of Christians that we're supposed to be in the future. Sometimes it takes a miracle to get someone saved. I knew a man when I was a kid that smoked cigarettes continuously. And now, not everyone gets these miracles, but some people do. He went down when they called for prayer at the altar. He got prayed for, and the next day he was off of cigarettes, and he never went back to them again. I've never forgot that. He just couldn't believe it. The desire was just gone out of him. And sometimes we have to try, and it's like a task we don't want to get to. Like, if you're a smoker or a drinker, you think, well, I could change a tire easier than I could quit drinking, or I could change a tire easier than I can quit smoking. But I can tell you that once in a while, a miracle will happen. I don't know what it is, but I believe it's sort of like all those people that had to wait in the Bible near that well, and every once in a while when the waters were stirred, they could get down in there and they would be healed. Now, I don't understand why certain things happen in our world the way they do. Maybe it's because of what we've done, or maybe it's the way the cities were laid out, and maybe God can't work with some of these people, and some He can, and maybe some people have more faith. I think it has a lot to do with whether the whole group of people have a lot of faith. Because you know what it says in the Bible, that if any two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them, Jesus said. And it's also important that we remember that. And we remember that we can get our sins forgiven at any time by just remembering 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we don't have to be fearful of tasks and stuff. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And that spirit of fear is dread. That's like looking at the side of your room where you've stacked up 25 boxes and you just don't know how you're going to do it. Well, I can tell you from a lot of experience in the past and piling boxes up and doing this myself and filling a shed up, that the only way you're going to get to that is to do one at a time, one box at a time, maybe one half at a time, or one square foot at a time in your house. That's the only way you're going to accomplish these. You just have to get started on it, and then you suddenly find that you're getting it done. There are men in the Bible that created great amounts of power because God gave them that. And sometimes you do get power, but you don't get it without God's help. And in 1 Chronicles 11:23, there was a man, he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear, like a weaver's beam. And Benaniah grabbed, knocked him down, took his spear, plucked it out of the Egyptian's hand, it says in 1 Chronicles 11:23, and slew him with his own spear. It takes a lot of courage, and you know what? He could have sat behind a tree thinking, oh man, I don't want to run into this guy and have him be real tall and have him fight me. But God told Joshua in chapter 1, jumping to Joshua now instead of Benaniah, He said in verse 6, Be strong and of good courage for this people, for you shall divide the inheritance of the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. It's important for us to show strength and courage, sometimes to our family too, otherwise they won't learn it. It's like the courage that a fireman gets when he runs into a house and saves a bunch of people in that house. Joshua chapter 1 verse 7 says, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it day or night so that you may be careful. Meditate on it day or night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." In the Christian church, you have the Holy Spirit to guide you. And I can't tell you exactly how He guides everyone, but sometimes it's just a strong feeling that you need to do something. And usually you knew already ahead of time that you needed to do that. Like suddenly, you suddenly remember this man you should go visit at a rest home. And so you go down there and you visit him, and you spend maybe 30 minutes to an hour with him. And you do this because you're a Christian and because God wants you to help people and do things and encourage them. And He wants you to change your life too. So then you go home and you need to make sure that you understand there's things that you should not do as a Christian. In Romans 8, 9 and 11, we already read that. In verse 16 it says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." See, He's telling us here that if we're an alcoholic, or we like to smoke, or we have some other serious addiction that's causing problems that we know is a sin, that they're going to fight against each other, but we have to work towards it. We have to have the courage to work towards it. Verse 18, it says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections of the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." See, now, there are some people who say, once you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about all these things. But there are things that you shouldn't do, and it tells you right here in the Bible. And you can read in Galatians and in Corinthians 2, different places where the spirits of the flesh and the Spirit of God keep you safe. And remember, you need to get baptized, like it says in Acts 2:38. "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and your children, and all those that are far off." Well, listen to us again next week at the same time, or the next day. Have a good day.